to love better than wine. A love better than wine. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, and we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now last week we looked at verse 1 of this wonderful book. Verse 1, it's actually a song. Verse 1 of this wonderful song. And this is the Lord's song. This is His song. It's the Song of Songs, the first verse says. It's a song that's not like any ordinary song. But beloved, it's the Song of Songs. And it's a love song, all about Christ and His bride. And the love that Christ has for His bride, we looked at last week, is an eternal love. An eternal love. He's always loved His bride. He's always loved her. Always. And this is why He came to earth. He came to redeem her, to purchase her, to save her from all her sins. And praise God, He's accomplished what He set out to do, didn't He? At Calvary's cross, He redeemed us. He purchased us. He saved us from our sins. He was God incarnate in the flesh, fully God and fully man. He's the one who has promised and prophesied in the Old Testament. And He's the only mediator between God and man. There's no other. No other. He's the object of this song. He's the theme of this song. It's all about Him. And His bride responds in love. We will see that. In utter love to their beloved. So tonight we'll continue our study. And now we're entering the passage from verses 2 to 7. We'll only cover verse 2 tonight. But we're entering into the section between verses 2 and 7, which is the bride confessing her love for the bridegroom. The bride confessing her love for the bridegroom. So let's look at verse 2. And we see the bride singing about her beloved. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now we know that Christ has loved us in eternity, right? He loved us from eternity. We know that. And we looked at that last week. We also know from scriptures that we love Him because He first loved us. Right? And here the church opens the song singing of her love for the one who has loved her from eternity. She's singing about His love. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Think on this. That love is an everlasting love, right? It's an everlasting love. And in love, you who are redeemed, in love, Christ sought you out. He sought you out. You weren't looking for Him. I wasn't looking for Him. But He sought us out. He seeks out His people, doesn't He? He's a shepherd who seeks out His people. And I ask you who are redeemed, has He not sweetly drawn us to Himself? Has He not lovingly drawn us to Himself when He revealed Himself to us? Was it not with sweet chords of love? My, the Holy Spirit draws us and teaches us the things of Christ. My, and then through our walk, He constrains us, doesn't He? He constrains us. The unwilling are made willing. And every one of us in this room who are saved, is proof of that. The unwilling are made willing and flee to Christ. And every believer says, amen. That was me. That was me. And what wonders, think of the wondrous love that Christ has for you who are redeemed. Think of the wondrous love that Christ has for all his people that the Father gave him. A number that no man can number. Think of that. Think of that divine, everlasting love that he has for us. And it will make you sing out like the bride does here. When you ponder the great love that God has for his people, when you ponder it, it'll make you cry out, thy love is better than wine. My. And that's the same love that drew us, the love of Christ, the love of God for his people. And it was manifest at Calvary, right? We've went over that many times. That love was manifested at Calvary's cross. When Christ died in the place of his people as their surety. It was on full display. And you know, again, Christ will never lose one of those he died for. And he seeks each one of them out lovingly. With loving cords have I drawn. With loving cords have I drawn. My. So we see how the bride look what she leaps at once to Christ. She leaps at once to him. Right away she speaks of her love for him. And these words express how she is completely taken away by him. She's enamored with him. She's in absolute love with him. And we see that in the text right away. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Who's that? The bridegroom. She's speaking of her bridegroom. For thy love is better than wine. She's fixed upon the bridegroom. She's fixed upon him. And what a picture we have. We have a picture right here before us. Of how we are to Christ, how we look to Christ, and how he looks to us too, because his love is better than wine. And note that she does not call him by name. Do you know why? Several commentators brought this out, that she's so taken by him that there's no doubt who she's talking about. The people who know her know who she's talking about. They know. She's so enamored with him. He's the one she speaks of. She's in absolute love with him. So it's needless for her to mention whom she met, because those who knew her would know exactly who she's speaking of. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 73. We have the psalmist gives us, there's some examples of this in Scripture, and the psalmist gives us an example in Psalm 73:25. Psalm 73:25. And then put your finger in John chapter 20. The psalmist writes this. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Well, he's talking about God. And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. It's evident. He's speaking about God. And then turn over to John chapter 20. We see Mary at the tomb. Mary Magdalene. Look at John 20, verses 15 and 16. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. She supposed him to be the gardener, right? Saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And look at her response when he reveals himself. So there, he hasn't revealed himself to her, right? But look at her response when he reveals himself to her. And all he does is call her name. This is beautiful. Look at this. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. My beloved. And then turn over to 1 Peter, if you would. And here's Peter's example. Here's a good example. It's Peter's account of the church. And we know who he's speaking of. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Look at this. Whom, and this is speaking of the church, whom having not seen, ye love. Who though we haven't seen, we love? Christ. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believe in. Who's the one we have faith in? Christ. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's go back to Song of Solomon. So she's so enamored with him. And we know who Peter was talking about. He's talking about Christ. She's so enamored with the bridegroom that there's no one else she'd be speaking this way of. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Again, she's fixed upon him. She's fixed upon him, beloved. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Hawker makes this comment. The object of the church's request is interesting, that Jesus would kiss her with the kisses of his mouth, meaning the manifestation of his presence. It means the manifestation of his presence. Is this not what the Old Testament saints long for? They long for the appearance of Christ. We look back to the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. They look forward to it. And beloved, the same Jesus who came and died upon the cross for our sins and rose again for our justification is coming again. And don't we long for that time when he will come? Whether he comes, whether we meet him in the air or whether he comes at our death, do we not long for that? And do we not long daily for his presence in our lives? As he manifests himself through the Word of God and through the gospel preaching and brings great comfort to our souls, or when we speak to him in prayer. My. Hawker comments this. The acceptance of redemption, which is redemption in and through Christ alone, by us, is in one part of Scripture and summed up in this comprehensive way as kissing the Son. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 2:12. The acceptance of redemption in and through Christ alone by us is in one part of Scripture summed up in this comprehensive way as kissing the Son. Look at Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. Oh, let us pray. Gracious Lord, we who are redeemed, approach thee with reverence and godly fear. My. Do we not desire the kiss of reconciliation? Do we not desire the kiss of affection? Do we not desire the kiss of forgiveness? We say with the rest of the blood-bought saints, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. So by kisses here are the manifold and varied manifestations of affection by which the believer is made to enjoy the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let us ponder the kiss of reconciliation which we enjoyed at our conversion. was it not sweet as honey? Let us ponder the kiss of acceptance, which is still warm on our brow, right? As we know that God has accepted us in and through Jesus Christ, the Beloved. All through the riches of His grace. Let us ponder the kiss of daily present communion. And this is what we desire to be repeated every day. Let us ponder the kiss of pardon and forgiveness of all our sins by the shedding of Christ's blood on Calvary's cross. And let us ponder the kiss of perseverance. Perseverance of His keeping us forever and the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us. While we pilgrimage through this world, He will keep all His sheep, and none shall be plucked out of His hand. None. Jeremiah Burroughs wrote this, "Permission to kiss the hand of a sovereign is considered an honor, but for that sovereign to give another the kisses of his mouth is evidence of the tenderest affection, and it is the highest possible honor." So we see in our text that the bride desires some fresh manifestation and discoveries of His love to her. By some precious word of promise from His mouth, applied to her. And we who believe receive this when we hear the gospel preached. Does it not warm your soul? Does it not warm your soul? Does it not bless your very soul to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached and proclaimed? Does it not fix our eyes on our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ? When we hear the gospel of Christ preached and what He did for us, how He died on Calvary's cross for us, does it not make your heart swell with joy that He saved you, that He redeemed you? My. God's people find all their delight and all their satisfaction in Christ. In Christ. And again, the bride is speaking of her Beloved. He who later on we're seeing the song is the chiefest among 10,000. Her heart and soul is fixed upon Him. Here in our text we see the bride's heart and soul fixed upon Him. Is this not the attitude of God's blood-bought saints? Do you not come here to hear messages about the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to hear about Him. We desire the preacher to proclaim Christ. And we desire more than anything in our lives the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? More than anything. Who is the message all about when you come here? Christ. Who, for you believer, is your only hope and comfort? Christ. Christ and Him alone. Why is heaven heaven? Because Christ is there. Because Christ is there. He's the source of all our joy. He's the source of all our peace. All our peace with God. This book is all about Him. All about Him. Christ is glory. Christ is heaven. Christ is life eternal. And sinner friends, salvation is not in a doctrine. Salvation is in a person. It's in a person. A glorious person. A very unique person. And that person is Jesus Christ, the Lord. God incarnate in the flesh. That's who salvation is in. And that's who the gospel preacher gets up every week and preaches and proclaims. Look to Him. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one. And note that the request is for kisses. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It's plural. For one kiss, one manifestation of Christ is not enough for the believer. Not enough. We want more. We want to know more about him, don't we? More and more. And they who have tasted that the Lord is gracious will desire to taste more. They desire repeated manifestations of his love. And I ask you who believe, does not your soul hunger and thirst after Christ and him alone? Let's look at the latter part of our verse. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now note the change of expression in the song. She was speaking of him, particularly, and now she speaks to him. In the first part of the verse, she's speaking of him. Now she's speaking to him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Here before us, beloved, is the endless subject of the love of Christ. It's an endless subject. A preacher could preach his whole life just on the love of Christ to his people and never exhaust it. Never. I ask you, can you describe this love? This is divine love. This is divine love. Remember he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And this love spoken of here, when she says, for thy love is better than wine, this love spoken of is an eternal love. And it arose out of nothing in us. Nothing in us. But it flowed out of the free and sovereign grace of God in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, it was manifested at Calvary. And this love which Christ has for his people, again, is an everlasting love. Scripture says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This love is unpurchasable. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. No matter how much a works-based religionist tries to work, he can't buy the love of Christ. He can't earn it. It can't be bought, and it can't be earned. It's freely given. It's freely given. And the love of Jesus comes to his people freely. Freely. And not because we deserve it, because what we deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. And it's not because of any merits in us or anything, because, again, we only merit hell. But this love is an unmerited love, and it flows from the heart of Christ to his people. Christ's love is the freest thing in the world. One commentator said, free as the sunbeam, free as the air, and it comes to the child of God without purchase and without merit. And in this respect, it is better than wine. Beloved, marvel at the love of God in Christ. Marvel at the love which Christ has for his bride. And is it any wonder that we see in this verse that she proclaims her love for him. We love him because he first loved us. This love is unmeasurable by heights and depths and lengths and breadths. And Christ's love surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. And it infinitely surpasses all creature love. Imagine the person you love the most in this world. and your love for that person doesn't even come close to the love that Christ has for his bride. Now, we all can say people we just love, right? That love doesn't even come close to the love that Christ has for us. It makes creature love as a drop in the bucket, or the small dust of the balance. And think of this, the blessed effects of Christ's love to his people, no language can describe. Can you describe the blessed effects of the love of Christ in your life? Can you even make words of it? He died for all my sins. All. I have all spiritual blessings in Christ. How many? All. I'm complete in Christ. Absolutely complete in him. There's not words sufficient to tell what all that means. I'll spend eternity in glory with Christ because of what he's done. And every believer can say this. But are our words even sufficient to describe the benefits of his love for us? We tell others what we know. But my, I don't think we're ever plumb the depths. Never. I remember hearing an old grace preacher preach for 45 years, and he turned to another preacher. He said, well, one of these days I'm going to learn how to preach. Because he knew that the topic that he proclaimed is depthless. And that's Christ. That's Christ. Christ and him alone. Think of this, beloved. All that we have in time, all that we have in time, all that we look forward to in eternity, all the mercies of redemption, all the works of grace, and all the hopes of glory, the whole of it has its rise in this unparalleled love which Christ has for his people. The only reason we have what we have in Christ is because he loved us. That's the only reason. Because God's love was set upon us from eternity. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now nothing gives a believer so much joy as fellowship with Christ. Oh, we may have some enjoyment and some common mercies of life, but all the matter together can bring no delight as that which we find in the matchless person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing comes close. Nothing even comes close. He has wine which no vineyard on earth has ever yielded. He has bread which all the cornfields of Egypt could never bring forth. And where can such sweetness be found? There's a sweetness that we've tasted in communion with our beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing compares. The believer esteems the joys of the earth little better than husks for swines compared with Jesus, who is the heavenly manna. Do you not feast upon him, beloved? Is he not everything to you? We would rather have one mouthful of Christ's love and a sip of his fellowship than a whole world full of carnal delights. What is the chaff compared to the wheat? What is a plain rock compared to a diamond? What is a dream compared to reality? Spurgeon comments this: if you know anything of the inner life, you will confess that our highest, purest, and most endearing joys must be the fruit of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. No spring yields such sweet water as well as the well of God, which was digged with the soldier's spear, All earthly bliss is of the earth, earthly, but the comforts of Christ's presence are like himself, heavenly. The joy of the Lord is solid and enduring because Christ is our only hope. And think on this. For nourishment, consolation, exhilaration, and refreshment, no wine can rival the love of Christ. No wine can rival it. Nothing. And he takes those who once hated him and turns them to love him. Turns them to love his ways. Turns them to love him. Turns them to love his salvation. Turns them to love his gospel. When at one time they wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And nothing to do with him. Is it any wonder that the bride cries out, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine"? One commentator said this: wine could reach no further than to the refreshment of the body, but the love of Jesus reaches to our soul. It reaches to our soul. And if Jesus gives his precious love to us, it will heal our souls. And it's done so for me and for many others. He's quickened our souls. We were once dead in trespasses and sins, and now we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And every true believer in Christ can say, "It's so with me. It's so with me." So we've looked at tonight the cry of love the church has for Christ. And this cry of love is a desire for some manifestation of his love. Let us rejoice, we who believe on Christ. Let us rejoice. We looked at today, 153,000 people a day enter into eternity. And if you're redeemed, rejoice. Rejoice. Because Christ's love was set upon you from eternity. It's incredible. And I ask you, has not your soul been refreshed by the love of Christ each time you hear the gospel? Is it not refreshing? We don't come here to hear the preacher. We come here to hear what the Word of God says. Right? What it says. And Christ speaks to us through the Word. I guarantee you, those men who are coming to preach at the conference are praying that God would give them Word. Would give them the words to speak from the Scriptures that would speak to your heart. That's what the preacher desires. Comfort ye, my people. How do we do that? I can't comfort you, right? But God the Holy Spirit can by the Word of God. Right? And he takes that and makes it a comfort to you. It's incredible. So we who believe, let us rejoice that we have a knowledge of this love spoken of in our text. Christ's love for his bride, and look at this love again. It says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Now Christ's love for his bride, for his people, is a love without beginning and end. So just think of that. Just ponder that for a little while. That Christ's love is for his people is a love that has no beginning and no end. Right? We were chosen in eternity. It's an eternal love. It's an end without measure. Can you measure it? Can you measure the love that Christ has for his people? No. It's boundless. It's depthless. And this love is this. This love that Christ has for his people, think of this. It's electing love. God chose a people in eternity. It's electing love. He chose a people. It's redeeming love. That's why he came to this earth, to redeem his people from their sins. It's saving love. And every child of God can say, yes, yes. It's saving love. He saved my soul. It's saving love. It's preserving love. Can you keep yourself? I can't. But God keeps us safe. And one day he'll present us faultless before his throne. And it's everlasting love. It'll never change. His love has always been set upon his people from eternity. And it will always be so. And we who believe long to taste his love in our daily lives, because it revives us, it refreshes us as we toil through this world. How many times have we reflected on something we heard in the message? After weeks later, months later sometimes, you remember something that a preacher said and bought out in the scripture, and it just fills your heart with joy because it points you right to Christ. And it's comforting. I found that text that I got to preach on this morning. What a privilege. Stones made ready. My goodness. It's incredible. God knew we were what stones he had chosen. We don't, though. We're just lifeless, dead rock like that, right, when we come into this world. But my, oh my, he starts to work upon us. Because he loves us. And we who believe, again, as we toil through this world, we desire to taste his love. Brings us great joy in times of trouble and sorrow. Now marvel this week, beloved, that you have had given to you, you who believe, you who are redeemed, you who have been born again of the Holy Spirit, marvel this week that you've been given a knowledge of Christ. Just think on it. Just ponder it this week. Ponder the love which is only found in Christ. Ponder it. It'll set your heart on fire. And let us remember who the bridegroom is, who the bride's speaking of. And let us remember what a glorious privilege it is to be joined to Jesus in a blessed bond of marriage, right? He's our heavenly bridegroom. My, what a privilege. What an honor. The believer can say about Christ, he loves me. He loves me. The believer can say about Christ, he cares for me. Have you not seen that manifested in your life, you who believe? The believer can say about Christ, he defends me. And he protects me. The believer can say about Christ, he redeemed me. How? By the shedding of his own blood. By the giving of his life. A believer can say, he saved me from all my sins. And the believer can say, he provides for every need. Has he not provided for all your spiritual needs? All of them are in Christ, right? Provided for. Does he not provide for our providential needs? All the time. We see it in this church. This is his work. And the believer can say this, no matter what they go through, that Christ Jesus our Lord comforts us and supports us. And think on this. He cherishes us. He cherishes us. You ever cherish something? He cherishes us. Again, think of the person you love the most, the absolute most in this world. You cherish them, don't you? I know. We all. There's people we cherish. Yeah. Christ cherishes his people far above what we cherish people. Far above. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's. I'm Christ. No wonder the bridegroom cries out, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." She knows that she's beloved of Christ. And she knows that he's hers by God's choosing. Let us close with these wonderful thoughts of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. God's elect desire him. His people desire him more than anything. They desire his person. They desire his love. They desire his glory. They desire his grace. They desire his will in their lives. They desire his salvation. They desire his righteousness. And they desire his way above all things. All we want is Jesus. And he's all we need. All we need. Think of this. He's better than the treasure of kings. He's better than all earthly possessions. You could take every earthly possession. We were driving by some homes over there, and I think it's Lakeview over there. Big old huge homes, right? They're nothing compared to what we have in Christ. He's better than all earthly possessions. He's better than the passing pleasures and prestige of this world. He's better than all earthly delights combined. And let us think as we leave here, let us consider the verse we've studied tonight. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. If we don't have Christ, we have nothing. We don't have Christ, we have nothing. If we have him, we have everything. Everything. What is the fruit of his love? For the bride, what is the fruit of his love for the bride? Righteousness, which comes from him. Redemption, which comes through him. Sanctification, which is only in him. Peace with God, which is through him. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Assurance of heaven. All these are found in Christ and him alone for the believer. And the love of Christ is a cup overflowing, beloved. It overflows. And remember, you are daily loaded down with benefits. Undeserved benefits. The believer is daily loaded down with benefits. And Christ's love is the delight to the believer. It gives gladness that wine can never give us. And truly, his love is better than wine, better than anything in this world. If his love is set upon you, rejoice, beloved, because the only reason you love him is because he loved you first. Rejoice. Rejoice. And the soul who truly loves Christ can never see enough of him, can never taste enough of him, can never feel enough of him, or ever enjoy enough of the love of Christ. I ask you that. Are you satisfied with just a taste? No, we want more, don't we? We desire more. More, 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 more about Jesus. And you who are redeemed by the Lord, rejoice, for his love is better than wine. Better than anything in this world. And his love has been bestowed upon you. You who believe. His love has been bestowed upon you by his free, sovereign mercy. It's better than anything. Better than anything. Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne rejoicing. Rejoicing in salvation's plan. Rejoicing in your great love for your people, which is set upon us from everlasting, from eternity. And it will continue throughout eternity. It'll never end. Your love towards your people will never end. And it's all found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who have been purchased by his precious blood, we rejoice. We rejoice that that his love is set upon us, and we cry out with the bridegroom. We cry out, all his love is better than wine, better than anything in this world. Oh, may we leave here rejoicing and be thankful for your mercy towards us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.